Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Coatesville Connection. This morning we are joined by the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, serving in the Coatesville and Chester County area. And we welcome in today Sister Rose Mulligan and Sister Mary Ann. Welcome, sisters.
Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to let our audience know a little bit, first of all, about what is the Immaculate Heart of Mary Order and when was it founded? Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Thank you. Well, our congregation was founded in 1845, and our mission is to evangelize, to catechize, and to teach. So you will find our sisters in Catholic education and religious education and educating people in the faith and in literacy centers and family centers, family literacy centers. We, in fact, have a family literacy center in Coatesville. And so you'll see our sisters in elementary schools, high schools, colleges, religious ed programs, literacy centers, helping to spread the good news of Jesus Christ through our ministries.
Yes, and I noticed in the Coatesville area there's going to be a mass with the bishop, and it's like, I guess it's sort of a thank you for what you've done all year. Tell us, do you know a little bit about that?
Well, our sisters have been serving at Pope John Paul Elementary School, which was formerly Coatesville Catholic Elementary, and our sisters are withdrawing from that school, will no longer be serving at that school, and so in recognition of all the years of our sisters' service to that school community, there will be a celebration honoring our sisters and in Thanksgiving for their service there.
Yes, thank you, sister, because that's what I had thought it was. I was afraid to say that, but I knew that Sister Ann was leaving as principal, and I know that there's only so many places you guys can be. And all the service that you did in running the Coatesville school and in running the John Paul II Regional Catholic School, which is where all the Coatesville children went after they closed the Catholic school and St. Cecilia's Parish. So how wonderful. And just here at Holy Spirit Radio, we also want to recognize and applaud all of the years of service that you've given to the wonderful ministry of education in that Coatesville area. So again, on behalf of Holy Spirit Radio, we want to say thank you to you as well. It'll be sad missing you, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about the Family Literacy Center. What exactly does that entail, and how does that work?
Well, two of our sisters administer the Family Literacy Center, and what they do is they meet with mothers and in mornings and young children, and they give some parenting classes, and the young children, they're teaching them English and also some catechesis that's there. And then oftentimes they'll do family visitation and some classes in the evenings also for those that might be working and can't get there in the mornings.
That's a wonderful service. And is that mostly to immigrants, or is it to any particular group of people? Can anyone just come in and take part of this?
It's mostly to immigrants that are in the area. However, one of the beautiful aspects of it is that many volunteers from local parishes come and help, you know, in terms of teaching English and helping with the young people. So it's a great networking and service and catechesis that's happening.
That's great. And I want to also point out to our listeners that you probably know the IHM sisters through Immaculata University and had a huge spike in prominence with the Mighty Max, which was a beautiful movie about the first NCAA women's basketball championship, won, of course, through Immaculata. So you know the sisters through that. We're speaking with Sister Rose Mulligan and Sister Mary Ann, talking about the IHM sisters, their service in Coatesville. We also want to promote an upcoming nun run. This is taking place June 3rd. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Our nun run begins at 8:30 in the morning, so it's the first Saturday in June. The nun run began 5 years ago, so this is actually our fifth annual nun run. And it began really as an initiative from one of our novices who herself had been a runner and So she thought it would be a good opportunity for vocation promotion and a good opportunity to bring families together and create a community and family spirit with our friends and family and community members. And so that's how it began. And any proceeds that we have, any money that we make is given to our nursing home, Camilla Hall. So it benefits our sisters, our retired and infirm sisters at Camilla Hall. And so anybody who's interested in coming, it's a fun day. It's a great family day, community day. You can find out more information about registering for the day at our website, which is ihmnunrun.org.
Okay, and where is that taking place?
That's right on the grounds of our mother house. It begins on the grounds of our mother house, which is on King Road in Immaculata. It's right across the street from Immaculata University. And so actually the race route begins at our mother house and then continues up to Immaculata University and then around to through our Grotto Road and then past Camilla Hall. And actually as the runners pass through Camilla Hall, the grounds of Camilla Hall, a number of our sisters, our retired sisters from Camilla, are out there as cheerleaders, cheering on the runners, which creates a great spirit and a lot of fun. And so then they continue, you know, down the road after Camilla Hall and then back to the mother house. And when they arrive there, of course, we're all there to cheer them and snacks and refreshments and prizes. And then a little surprise from the sisters, a little entertainment from the sisters at the conclusion of the day.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And one of the things that I think that many of us don't realize is that the sisters who served in these Catholic schools throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, let's say in the 50s and 60s, you weren't really given a full salary. It wasn't something that would be something that you could bank your retirement on. So the sisters really are really dependent on us and generous donors to bring help for their in their later years. So if listeners wanted to make a donation just to Camilla Hall, or how would they go about doing that?
They could go to Camilla Hall's website, and if they just do a search for that, it'll come up. And there's a link on there, you know, if people would like to donate. And then also on our ihmnunrun.org website, there's a link also to donate if people were interested in that. And certainly we always appreciate people's prayers.
That's great. Yes, sister. Thank you so much. All right. Now, I also wanted to talk. You mentioned an intern came up with this idea for the Nun Run. Talk a little bit about vocations and how IHM is doing with regards to the vocation call to the consecrated life as a young woman.
Well, thank you. Each month we offer a discernment retreat, and typically we have maybe about 5 through 10 or 12 young women that come. So we have what we call a pre-entrance program, and somebody that's, you know, interested, they might come as a come and see. Or they might decide that, you know, after coming once, they want to come back again to one of our retreats. After a young woman has come a few times, she might say, you know, I'd like to be more formally a part of this pre-entrance program. And so she comes and she gets to see how we pray together, our community life, our service. And eventually, you know, if she still thinks that she's called to this and we see that, you know, it's a good fit also, she can apply to the community. And so then there's about an 8-year period that a young woman would be in a more formal discernment in the sense that she would enter the community as what we would call a postulant. That comes from a Latin term meaning like seeking. And as a postulant, the young woman would live with us. She's learning, you know, to pray with us and live in community life. She's also studying. After that year, you know, again, if she still feels that this is for her and we see that it's a good fit also, she would become a novice. And the period of being a novice is 2 years. And that comes from the word meaning like new to religious life. And that's when the young woman would receive her religious name and she would receive the habit of the community and also the rule of the community. So as a novice for 2 years, they're studying about the vows, they're studying theology, they're studying about our mission. And then they, God willing, would make their first vows, and at that point they're called a temporary profess. It's the period of about 5 years that a young woman would be a temporary profess sister before she would make her final vows for life. So we like to say it's like a long engagement period that a person has. So currently we have two postulants. We have two novices, and we have five temporary professed sisters. So we've been very blessed, you know, to have young women following a sister servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
I know one of the questions a lot of young women ask is, what is a typical day as an IHM sister? I know there's probably not a typical day, but how it, can you just, if you were seeking a vocation there, what would typically the day start with and end with?
That's a great question. And with anybody's lifestyle, you know, we do have like routines that have become part of our everyday life. So a lot of sisters get up very early. We have times together that we pray together, but then we have time for private prayer. Some people prefer some of that private prayer time in the morning. So let's say typically a sister might get up at 4:30 or 4:45 to have some private prayer time. We have our Liturgy of the Hours morning prayer typically at 6 o'clock in the morning, Mass at 6:30, and then we would have our breakfast. And then because we're sisters, sisters are what we would say apostolic versus nuns, who are contemplative or monastic. So apostolic, the root word for that is apostle, meaning being sent out. So, you know, after our breakfast, we get sent out and do our work for the day, meaning we might be in a school setting or the literacy center or in parish. And then at the end of the day, let's say like about 5 o'clock, we gather together again for evening prayer and then dinner together. And then the evening, it might depend. Maybe there's a meeting in the parish that a sister would go to. Maybe she might have a free night, you know, and watch the news in Jeopardy. Maybe she's attending a basketball game that the students might have, grading papers or whatever. So the day's framed with prayer. And certainly then in the course of the day, we commit to at least an hour of private prayer. And for us, that would include like praying the rosary, the Stations of the Cross, meditating on scripture, and some form of spiritual reading that we would do.
That sounds like a very beautiful structured day. And I'm sure that when you are contemplating a contemplative life, you need to be based in prayer and you have to be able to listen to what God's will is for your life. So it certainly sounds like you have those built into the day to be able to discern what God's will is. You are listening to Coatesville Connection, 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County, and 1570 in Doylestown and the greater Philadelphia area. We'll be right back. We have been speaking with the Immaculate Heart of Mary Sisters serving in the Coatesville-Chester County area for many years. Joined today by Sister Rose and Sister Mary Ann, we continue our conversation about the call to the consecrated life. One of the things that we hear about young women who are trying or desirous of entering consecrated life is that student loans can sometimes be a problem. Do you find that when you're looking at young women?
It could be, and that's something we take on an individual basis with the person, depending on the amount that they have and, you know, how long they've been out of college and all. There are avenues to pursue like grants or other ways to for fundraising for that. Like there's a group called the Laboray Society. There's another group, the National Religious Vocation Conference, that actually helps with young people who are looking at religious life. So that would be on an individual basis, you know, that we would talk with the person and see where they are with that. It doesn't necessarily mean that a person couldn't enter, but, you know, there's a couple of factors that would go into that.
Right. That's something that's, you know, relatively a new phenomenon. I know that in days of old that there wasn't really this idea that you had so much debt entering anything as a young person, but it does seem to
right.
be.
And nowadays when young people graduate college, it's almost like they have a house mortgage.
Yes, you know, that's right.
The rising cost of education and all. And we do recognize, I mean, they're bringing the gift of being educated. And it's not that a young woman has to have a college degree before they enter the convent, but typically we're finding most of them do finish college first.
Right.
But that's not a requirement.
Right. And I'm sure that...
You know, going back to the daily schedule, I forgot one thing. You know, certainly prayer is an important part of our life, our ministry, but the other aspect is our community life that we have, you know, and within community it's important for us that we do share time together, you know, whether it's at a meal. We take turns doing different charges around the house. We celebrate each other's feast days, birthdays. Sometimes, there's special religious feast days that we celebrate together. So that's a beautiful aspect of religious life also. Important.
Very important. You know, we have a lot of publicity about young men in the priesthood. The Quo Vadis days are coming up at St. Charles Borromeo, but not so much on consecrated women. It's almost as if there's a sense among some people in the general public that you're either a priest or you're not in religious life. So I was wondering if you might share your own vocation story with us.
Our vocation story? If I could go back for 1 minute about the Quo Vadis days, you know, many dioceses have what they call Fiat Days Retreat. In fact, we're involved with like four different dioceses with their Fiat Days Retreat for young women. It just so happens that in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we don't have that for the young women. But that's something that, you know, hopefully at some point in the future that we can have. So so there are, you know, camps out there and similar type things for young women. But for our own vocation story, you know, I think... for every person, it's a little bit different, and people first think about it or that the Holy Spirit sort of flutters in their heart at different times in their life. I know for myself, I would say it was a lot of little things, like looking back in life, that sort of stirred my heart and soul. I grew up in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, and I know faith was important to my parents, and, you know, we went to Mass every Sunday and all that, but several things happened in those years growing up that I remember I had a sister that taught me in fifth grade, and I was just very inspired by her. In sixth grade, I remember reading the Chronicles of Narnia and just thinking, wow, was that when the lion is just like Jesus, like he's wild, you know, and he's not boring. There was something, captivating about Christ that I wanted to learn more about him. I remember in seventh grade seeing a Star Wars movie, and you know, at one point in the movie, I was ready to start crying. It was The Empire Strikes Back, and I didn't even realize I was praying, but I was just saying, oh, God, I just want to help you in the battle of good versus evil in the world. You know, something as simple as that, a movie. I remember, you know, in high school, I had a sister that taught me chemistry, and I remember just thinking, wow, there has to be a God behind all this. And I distinctly remember that day in school just thinking, you know, why did she ever do this with her life, this sister? Why did she choose to take these vows of chastity and poverty and obedience and live in a convent? And I just became so curious. And I think it was through that curiosity this next couple of years that I realized God was inviting me to consider this.
Mm, a beautiful story. So it's not always like, you know, from, you know, birth that you're supposed to be a consecrated religious. It's something that can young women can feel that it grows over time. It might be a subtle sense that keeps growing or that becomes something that you feel like you need to check out. Is that kind of correct?
Right, right.
And how about Sister Mary Ann? Does she have her vocation story that she would share?
There she is, Sharon. My story is, you know, very similar in some ways to Sister Rose's. I was taught by the IHM sisters when I was in elementary school. I grew up in Broomall, Pennsylvania, And so I had the IHM sisters there, and they were a great inspiration to me. And I remember, especially in eighth grade, I had a sister who just was so loving and so filled with life and joy. And I remember just being inspired by her, how she really cared about us as students. I also remember in that same year, a sister coming to our school who was a missionary in Peru, one of our IHM sisters, and she showed us some beautiful pictures of the work that the sisters were doing in Peru. And that really touched my heart. And I thought, wow, you know, these sisters are doing so much to make a difference in the lives of these people and just so doing something to make a difference in the world. And I want to do something to make a difference in people's lives and make a difference in the world. And so I believe that was really the first stirrings of vocation in my own life. And then certainly as I was in high school, I had the IHM sisters. I had other sisters also. I went to O'Hara, so there were different congregations of sisters. But, you know, the idea of being a sister would come in and out of my heart. You know, there would be times that I would try not to think about it. And then out of the blue, it would pop into my head, and then I'd start daydreaming about it. And then I eventually, after high school, I ended up going to Immaculata. And it was there that I saw so many wonderful sisters who, again, were so filled with life and joy, who were so giving and loving and so filled with faith. And their faith, their joy really inspired me to seek out, you know, what is the source of their joy? What is the source of that faith? And so through their inspiration, it really helped me to grow to know my own vocation, God's call for me to with them and like them, to bring my faith, my love for Jesus to other people through the ministry of Catholic education. And so during my college years, as I was discerning and growing to know God's call for me, eventually I did answer that call. And that was 25 years ago now. So and it's been a wonderful life, a life filled with a lot of adventure and a lot of joy. And I've been able to do things, see things, experience things that I know that I would have never been able to had I not been an IHM sister. Mm.
Well, we are again celebrating this morning the Immaculate Heart of Mary sisters, who are, after how many years in the Coatesville schools in that Chester County area, are now no longer going to be serving there after this semester. How many years had you been there?
Actually, I don't know that information. So that we were at St. Cecilia's in Coatesville, and then a few years ago, the school,
JP2.
The new school was built, so John Paul II. I don't know the year, though, that we started. We're still in Chester County, like St. Agnes School and Bishop Shanahan and
St. Joseph's Simon and Jude, St. Philip and James.
So it's just really that the JP2 Regional School and the formerly the Coatesville Catholic School at St. Cecilia's, which closed when the parish closed, but then the children were put in the JP2 Regional Elementary School. So we are applauding, though, and celebrating on Coatesville Connection the service that the sisters have given in the community through the years in that education ministry. And we're also talking about today as we wrap up this upcoming Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 8:30 a.m., the Nun Run, which starts on the grounds of the Immaculata Campus, did you say, Sister?
It'll start at our Mother House.
Mother House.
Mother House, the sign outside reads Villa Maria House of Studies.
Okay.
That's the official name for our Mother House. It's across the street from Immaculata University. And we actually have the Knights of Columbus from Chester County that will be helping us with the parking and all that. So you'll see them out there directing people to the parking.
And if you have a sense that maybe you'd want to check out the Order of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, maybe this is a call that God has placed in your heart to serve or to become a consecrated religious. Sister, when is your next upcoming vocation day?
We have something that we call Sisters Night. So it's an informal gathering with our sisters, and we invite young women, certainly from the area, but beyond the Chester County area, to join us for a fun night. It's on June 23rd, beginning at 6 p.m., and there's a some fun activities that we have. We have a cookout. We have a wiffle ball game. We have a bonfire and s'mores, a scavenger hunt. And the evening concludes with night prayer. So we pray together with the young women and with our sisters who come. And it ends at about 9 o'clock. So that's
okay.
June 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. right at our mother house.
And sister, can you give out your website in case anyone has any information or wants to contact you?
Sure. It's www.ihmimmaculata.org.
Wonderful. And sisters, we can't thank you enough for your time this morning. I know you were busy doing some work at your retreat house, and they generously took time away from that really important work to speak with us this morning, and we can't be more appreciative. So thank you so much. And as we close, sisters, can you lead us in prayer?
In this month of May, as we honor our Blessed Mother, we thought maybe we would love to pray together a prayer that's near and dear to us, and that would be the Hail Mary together. So we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And Immaculate Heart of Mary,
pray for us.
Thank you.
Sister Rose, Sister Marianne, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, and God bless you. And please assure the listeners that they are in our prayers each day, and we certainly will put their names, the listeners of Holy Spirit Radio, in our prayer book and chapel for their intentions.
Thank you so much, sisters. Thank you.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Bye-bye.